When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hi, everybody. This is Adriana Trigiani. I'm the host of You Are What You Read. I have the privilege of interviewing luminaries of our times about the books that shaped them from childhood until now. We get everybody from Sarah Jessica Parker to Kristen Hanna, Mitch Albom, Susie Essman, Craig Ferguson, Rainn Wilson, Amor Towles, you name it, they come, they share. New episodes of You Are What You Read drop every Tuesday on Apple, Spotify, or any major streaming platform wherever you listen to your podcasts.
All right, my talkers, it's hour three of Lori and Julia, the final stretch for this fun Monday. Let's have some fun. Let's see what they got to say and maybe crack a laugh or two.
We're gonna try. We got a movie review from Julia and a kids movie review from me. But Julia, you were one of the... Now, this isn't a surprise. So Warner Brothers In the Heights was released on HBO Max and in theaters.
Yes, and on Friday.
It disappointed at the box office with only $11 million. And, geez, it's almost like when you can watch a movie at home for free, will people go see it in the movie theater? No.
Well, this was interesting.
I mean, they thought it would do $20 million. I'm like, I don't know why they thought they would do $20 million when it's... airing on HBO Max at the same time as the movie theater.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so I watched it at home, and my neighbor went to watch it in the movie theater. So, which was funny, because I said, come over and watch the movie. You know, I have...
And she said, I want to see it on the big screen.
No, she had already seen it.
Oh, okay.
So it was kind of funny. So I watched Into the Heights, and I'd never seen the play. You and Donnie went back to it back in the day, and this is Lin-Manuel.
In the Heights.
What'd I call it?
Into the Heights.
Oh, In the Heights. Mm-hmm. But... it's Lin-Manuel who did Hamilton. This was before Hamilton, his first musical. Mm-hmm. And it's about Washington Heights, a Latino community in Manhattan. Mm-hmm. And it was very Hamilton-like to me in the style of music.
Yeah.
So I felt very comfortable in the way that they were doing the music and the songs, because it just reminded me of Hamilton.
Yeah.
In the rapping, kind of singing, rapping. And
Variety called it the summer campy fun movie that we needed.
The guy, Anthony Ramos, who's kind of the star, is so delightful, so charming. Leslie Grace, Jimmy Smits is in it. And then Mark Anthony shows up in it. Jennifer Lopez's ex-husband. Mm-hmm. When you look at him, you wonder how she didn't squish him. He's just a pin. He's that teeny. He's so teeny.
Call him the
anorexic.
Anorexic.
It was really. Mm. I thought, you know, it's 2 hours and something minutes, so I took breaks.
Yeah,
but I put on closed captioning so I could hear all the words and the songs and stuff. I really enjoyed it, but I did take a break because that's too long for me. But I thought, why would I go to a theater when you can watch it at home?
Well, I mean, this is the big duh.
I don't get that.
That it didn't, it underperformed. I'm like, didn't you account for the fact that, if you can watch a movie for free at home, less people will go see it for money in the theater. That's just a fact.
Right. And they're saying that that's not supposed to be a factor because... But they are saying the big movies, like the Avenger movies, people would go see in a movie anyway.
Or A Quiet Place.
They
didn't make
scary
that...
movies. Musicals don't perform as well.
Well, they were thinking that, I mean, this has like 95% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I just feel like, though, having it on HBO Max is going to dilute it.
It was so convenient, and it was so hot.
And it could be a cult following. It could be a word of mouth kind of a movie in that way, because... Yeah, it's like
The Greatest Showman, you know, with Hugh Jackson. It didn't do well in the movie theaters.
But then it got the word of mouth, and it stayed in theaters, and it kept
the
playing.
Music was great. It's a good movie, and the dancing, it has a lot of everything you want.
Yeah. Okay, good.
I enjoyed it, but apparently it cost $55 million to make. It needs $110 million to break even, but that doesn't include all the marketing and all the money that's gone.
Well,
into it
was Lin-Manuel Miranda. He was everywhere, and so was the other guy and the gal, the lead.
Leslie Grace.
Yeah.
And Jimmy Smits, Anthony Ramos. He's
darling. He's darling. He was everywhere. And then just speaking of musicals, so Rita Moreno, she has a new documentary out, and she also was at the Tribeca Film Festival. They really had a lot of, it was their 20th year. So
already.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, and Rita Moreno, she's 89 years old. Her look on the red carpet.
She's gorgeous.
I mean, she's now over, well,
what
I
do
mean.
You think, what do you think she's done? Because absolutely, she looks like she's 65.
She looks like she could pass for 40. Are you
no,
kidding
her
me?
Face. Her face.
Her everything about her look. And she is just, she's proudly told. We've got the audio from, I think this might be GMA, but different people are weighing in. But it's her documentary premiered at Tribeca. And it's called Rita Moreno, Just a Girl Who Decided to Go For It. And the people that you're going to hear speaking, Lin-Manuel Miranda speaks, Ava Longoria, Rita Moreno herself. And if you watch the reboot of One Day at a Time, of course, she's been on that. She famously, like 2 or 3 years ago, wore the Golden Globes, what she wore to the Golden Globes in like 1962. She's just everything. So here's a little Rita Moreno.
She is the Oscar winner from the original West Side Story.
Everything's coming up
and now in a new documentary called Just a Girl Who Decided to Go For It.
Hello, cutie.
Rita Moreno is opening up about her life like never before.
At the age of 16 years old, she was the sole breadwinner for her family.
Little Puerto Rican girl whom nobody thought much of. At MGM with a contract.
Some of Hollywood's biggest stars, including many of her co-stars, from Morgan Freeman to Gloria Estefan, share the cultural impact of this Latina trailblazer.
She made me feel like a woman could do anything because she did. She was a Latina, like me.
The documentary, produced by TV exec Norman Lear and Lin-Manuel Miranda, shares Moreno's activism during the civil rights movement and how she learned to use her voice.
To the Puerto Rican kids, wear your nationality like a flag. Be proud of it.
The doc also reveals how she carved out her place in Hollywood against all odds.
She comes up with what she calls the universal ethnic accent.
You know, she was auditioning for the Russian girl, and she would talk like this. And then they go, okay, could you audition for the Cuban girl? And she would talk like this. Nobody even knew the difference. Those are very different countries.
And how Moreno paved the way for others.
If we thought there was no place for us in this world of the arts that we wanted to get into, we could look up and see Rita and say, okay, well, she could do it. How close can I get?
Because Lin-Manuel Miranda, obviously. And there is a part for her in... You know, she plays a part in the West Side Story, the Spielberg one that's coming out.
So I'm going to be really shallow and I'm going to go a different trajectory here. Okay. She's 89 years old. I would like her to backdate the dates of all of her plastic surgery. She looks amazing, Lori.
Yeah. I
mean,
I don't know.
You know what I mean?
I don't know.
Because like Jane Fonda, if they would backdate...
And tell us when they
tell us when they did everything and what they did. It would just be a nice little blueprint for aging. I know that sounds so shallow and stupid.
Yeah,
but she looks amazing.
Yeah, she really. I can't believe it. I don't know. You know, she
89 years old.
Yeah, she talked to. She still dances.
I know, and that's the other thing. These dancers' bodies are amazing. They're in '90s almost. I mean,
and do we have any more audio, Grant, or is that it? Okay, that was it.
That was it, yes.
Because she told the guy that was doing the story, she said, you know, I'm going to be 90 in just a couple months. Like how, like when you're a kid and you can't wait.
I'm 13 and
10.
A half. Right.
Yeah, you're going, right. And she's like, now she's at the other end. I'm 80, I'm a 90 in a couple of months. You know, she was just like so proud of it. Super excited that she has this part in West Side Story, and was very excited about
this documentary. Is supposed to be very good.
It's supposed to be really good. Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
and she was at the Oscars this year, and
she's an EGOT.
Yeah, she
winning actor.
But seriously, she looks.
She's amazing. She's inspirational and aspirational for sure.
Can you just send the blueprint out to other people so we know how to age?
Yeah,
like with plastic surgery. I don't want to just. I mean, aging with surgery. It sounds terrible, doesn't it, to say that?
I'm trying to wish, I'm hoping you'll stop because no, I feel like you've said it a couple times.
No, I'm serious. And you look at how amazing these
I keep
people
thinking
look.
You'll take my say
I'm not,
nothing
I'm
as
not,
like, you know, cluing in or
I'm
whatever. I'm ready to move on to B-Lo.
What is B-Lo?
I don't know. Should that be our name for Bennifer 2.0? Should we call him B-Lo?
B-Lo?
Well, what did we call? They were Bennifer. Bennifer. Why don't we just call him Bennifer?
Well, then you got to call him Bennifer 2.0. I just thought, you know, the J-Lo, B-Lo, you know, B-Lo.
I like it.
Below the deck.
Yeah.
Hey-o.
Yeah, I don't know that it's going to stick, but he was in Nobu.
You're so funny. I'm trying to let you get out of this. Yeah,
well, I'm just...
But I'm saying a lot. All right.
Yeah. Why don't you say it 10 more times and then, you know...
I'm not going to.
And then Grant will slowly stop even laughing and you'll just be sitting there.
I'll be quiet.
No, but they... Now, talk about somebody who wants to be seen. You go to Nobu, Malibu... You go to Nobu, Malibu, and Craig's. There are paparazzi front and back at both places.
Why do you think they want to be seen so bad? What is
it? I think they are really happy to be back together, that they love the second time around as lovers, keeping their individual mansions, not worrying about getting married, having children, all of that stress. They are lovers. The second time around.
But they included the kids.
Well.
The kids went to Nobu with.
Them. Well, he'd already spent time with Lupe in at the Wynn, you know, gambling with his mother-in-law almost. So I just think they're kind of giddy happy about the love the second time around.
And so they don't
around.
Care. They're just going to the places.
Yeah. And maybe they really did have a hankering for Nobu.
The food is very good there.
Yeah, it is.
People love the food there.
Yeah, so, yeah.
They could have.
And they were smooching. And listen, those kids, the reason they liked Alex, they finally told her, I know this, just because I know this.
I tell
Mom,
me.
We really only liked him because we loved his daughters.
Yeah.
We didn't really like him that much. That's what I'm thinking.
Well, we had something in common.
Like Ben, he'd be the kind of guy like, well, the kids weren't even around, so they didn't even know.
No way.
So she's
no way he's going to mix his kids with her kids for a long time.
That's why they're being lovers.
Mm-hmm. But she mixed hers with him.
With Alex, because what she does.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, no, that's what she does.
Yeah.
That's what she does, but...
He won't do that.
No, I don't think so.
No.
I don't think so.
I think they're very happy, Lori.
Lovers?
B-Lo?
I don't know. Bennifer 2.0.
I know.
Let's just go with that. Right. All right, we'll be back with the Dirt Alert.
This is a My Talk Dirt Alert.
Hey, Holly. Good afternoon, ladies.
Hi.
Should we get some details about the documentary that's on tonight on Hulu, The Housewife and the Hustler?
Yes.
Yes. I watched part of it.
You did, and?
Mm-hmm. Well, you give us the details and then I'll comment.
Okay, well, Page Six is saying that this is primarily focused on giving a voice to Tom Girardi's alleged victims. Also, the fact, here's a little loophole on Erica Jane's money, that she was listed as a secretary of one of Tom Girardi's LLC, and that money was transferred to her company, EJ Global.
Mm-hmm.
So there are lots of business and financial loopholes going on. And Sonny Hostin appears in the documentary and says that Erica Jane claimed that the money of her luxury items were gifts to her, making them separate property from Tom Girardi amid their divorce. So there's all this stuff and all these things, LLCs moving around, shifting money. Now, Erica Jane filed for divorce from Tom Girardi in November of 2020.
On election day.
On election day, which we saw on The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills.
Yeah.
This was all before Tom Girardi's legal problems became public knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And we said at the time, somebody is giving her that legal advice. You need to file now and get out now. They knew this was coming. I feel like this is just so, it's scandalous every time you think about it. He literally took money from orphans and victims who were injured.
Right. And he let his wife flash and talk about how much money they had on a reality show more eyeballs on it than ever.
I like your sexist language.
I am.
That's his wife.
Well, I know that sounds sexist, but he's an attorney. Yeah. Why would he let her talk about that? There would be things that would be...
All these crazy alien stories can't be true, can they? Hey, it's Stephen Diener, host of the Unidentified Alien Podcast. And whether you're new to the conversation or have been looking into it for years, you need to check out the fastest growing alien show out there, the Unidentified Alien Podcast, or UAP for short. There's a crazy amount of alien encounter stories out there from all over the world. And the beauty of it is that I bring them all to you and let you decide what you believe. Download and subscribe to UAP on any of the major podcasting platforms. And you can also find it on UAPpodcast.com.
I'm Bradley Trainer,
and I'm Don McClain. We have a podcast called Blinded by the Item.
A blind item is gossip about a celebrity with their name left out. It's a guessing game, and you can play along. The item might be like, this A-list star carries a Birkin bag worth more than the average person's house to the gym to work out.
Pretty sure that's J-Lo.
And P.S. the person behind all of this is Kris Jenner,
LLC. We drop a new episode every weekday so the fun never ends.
Blinded by the Item. Listen wherever you get podcasts and watch us on the Blinded by the Item YouTube channel.
The off limit. Don't show our lifestyle, honey.
She wouldn't have been hired.
I'm stealing.
Yeah.
I mean, right. I would have said, here are the things you can talk about and here are the things you can't if you want to do this.
Yeah.
And then he was even a part of the show. Mm. It just seems like no one was thinking in that family for a while.
Sure. So do you get some of that from this documentary? Is that what you're taking away from it, Julia? That you're just like, oh my gosh. Well, one, how awful is Tom Girardi? Like you said, Lori, literally stealing from orphans. And two, how stupid were you to have Erica Jane go on The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills and flaunt your wealth?
That's how
and
I feel
it
about
makes
it.
Me, I have been disliking her for the last couple seasons, and it makes me dislike all of her, all.
Oh, Lori, I always.
No. When you look at it, because you never watched The Real Housewives on the regular with the. I'm saying about Beverly Hills. I mean, Erica has been.
She's unlikable.
She's unlikable, and she's never brought much to anything. And all she's done is have little pithy, bitchy bon mots and great, crazy outfits because of the glam. But she really didn't bring any real anything. It was just all a facade, which we now know.
Yeah. So now not only was it superficial, but now you get to see how ugly.
Yes.
Perhaps all of it really
is. It makes me mad I ever liked her at all.
Now, Erica Jane hasn't been charged with any crimes regarding all of this money issues that are going on, but Erica Jane accused of embezzling settlement funds that were meant to help the victims of Lion Air Flight 610 in that class action lawsuit. So she's being accused along with everybody else in this lawsuit.
And prosecuting attorneys are watching that show every Wednesday.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I mean, people...
You know, she's going to get in so much trouble.
She's going to get in so much trouble.
Oh, my goodness. All right. Well, you can watch The Housewife and The Hustler on Hulu as we speak. So there you go. Mark your calendars. I know you guys like to anticipate what's coming up at the box office. Brad Pitt's Bullet Train is going to be in theaters in April of 2022. So this
is that the one we saw him kind of looking like a hunk, but battered?
Yes, a battered hunk.
A battered hunk.
Yes. So Bullet Train is based on the Japanese book called Maria Beadle, and it's Brad Pitt, Sandra Bullock, Joey King, Andrew Koji, Michael Shannon, Aaron Taylor Johnson.
Wow.
So there's quite
It's five assassins find themselves on a fast-moving train from Tokyo to Monaco or something.
That's right. So the project is being described as Speed, and also kind of like that movie Nonstop. Do you remember with Liam Neeson and Michelle Dockery when they were on the airplane?
It came out in
2014. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of being described as a cross.
How can
the
a train go from Japan to Monaco?
It isn't Monaco. It's Marana. It's another word, Lori, but I've never recognized.
Like it's in Japan.
It's in Japan.
So
Maranica.
So it's on the Shinkansen, on the bullet train. Oh, my goodness. Well, hence, you know, the name of the dang movie.
Hello.
But
when she said Japan to Monaco, I'm like, are there train tracks going over the ocean?
I can't read. Oh, my God.
It's Monday. Happy Monday. Now, this sounds really cool. This is happening in Los Angeles. And if somebody happens to be in L.A. this summer and you're into roller discos, this is for you. Nile Rodgers from the band Chic is launching a roller disco haven called the Disco Oasis. This is literally a roller disco that's going to be happening from July 16th through Labor Day in Palos Verdes Hills. And you will be able to roll with civilians and professional skaters in what is being called a glittery explosion built to celebrate the communal experience.
Oh, I'm so sad Roller Garden in St. Louis Park had to close.
I know.
Jeez.
It's just like set for a renaissance because on social media, people are buying roller skates.
The four wheel regular.
Yes.
Oh, I used to love going
to roller
skates.
And put on your knee-high socks and little shorts.
And dancing.
Yes.
Or maybe, you know, roller gardens are fun.
Yeah. So this is an immersive experience. It's all benefiting the We Are Family Foundation. So it is a nonprofit initiative. So cool. If that sounds like it's fun for you, then go ahead and do that. Salma Hayek talks about meditation and her meditation practice with her pet owl.
Mm-hmm. Oh, she is so weird with that owl.
I know she is.
I mean, I can't imagine living with an owl in your house.
Yeah, this is like obscenely rich people hobbies.
Yeah.
Because remember, Salma Hayek is married to a billionaire and also very successful and wealthy in her own right.
And but she's promoting something. There's some movie she's in.
She's in some movie.
Yes, Salma Hayek is in a movie. She's in a new... I mean,
okay, this is like a really obvious thing that we just said.
This is the whole study of obvious. Bullet Train is about a bullet train, and Selma Hayek is doing press in a new movie. It's called The Hitman's Wife's Bodyguard.
Thank you.
That is the name.
It's a terrible name.
I know.
But it's with someone funny, isn't it?
Ryan Reynolds.
Yes.
And Samuel L. Jackson. Yep. So this movie's coming out June 16th. And doing press for this, she said that she meditates with her owl named Caring, and she puts pictures of him sitting on her head with her eyes closed.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah, she said, the minute I go into meditation, she stays super still, and the owl stays super still. Likes to sit on her head, and I'm very concerned about the owl scat. That's on Selma Hayek's head.
Oh, yeah. No, I want her to stop with her owl talk. I really do. Unless she's trying to drive her husband out of the house.
I feel like perhaps maybe it's one of those relations where they have
separate big bedrooms with an adjoining hallway.
Do you think so?
Uh-huh.
Well, yeah. They met when she was really young. Really?
They probably have wings.
Or Well, true.
You know, speaking of owls.
Yeah.
They just meet.
Yes, exactly.
He can't like it. Owl room.
I think she did a Sunday morning thing, and she said, my husband doesn't like that I let the owl have free reign of the house. And I thought, nobody would like it.
Well, free reign, I mean, come on. Again, I'm thinking practically. I'm thinking about the people who keep the house together, and you have to find the owl poop everywhere.
And I'm thinking of the owl who would really like to be in the trees.
Yeah, well, and thank you very much. Also, owls eat whole rodents, and out the other end, that's, you know.
I'm looking up right now, how much do owls poop?
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank
Julia.
You.
All right.
Go to traffic.
Based on popular demand, this happens every year, Julia. It's time to get, Grant, you probably don't know, but every June, we have a very nice website called Illicit Encounters, which asks people what their top favorite fantasy and sexual kink is. And we've got the new and updated list because 2020, 2021, you know, how did the pandemic and COVID affect people's kinks and fantasies?
If stuck is on the top of the list, being stuck in a Lumen chair.
Yeah, right.
I want to know about it. Because that's going to probably make the top 10. What are the new ones? Do we have anything new?
I thought this is kind of interesting. Okay, so 74% of men and 67% of women say they have a kinky side. But quite a few people, 32% of men and 31% of women, say they keep their kink-related fantasies a secret from their partner. That could be an age thing or whatever. But so anyway, they asked...
It could be an age thing.
It could be an age thing. You know, it can be an age thing.
Mm-hmm.
And anyway, here are... Here's what we learned. Okay, Julia.
I'm curious. Okay.
This still comes in at number one. It's been number one for several years. Some people call it al fresco sex. Some people call it sex on the beach. Some people call it sex outside, mm-hmm. but it's basically sex somehow outside. Okay. I like the
in the lake.
I like the al fresco sex.
Yeah, I do
because
too.
It's just kind of
open. Know,
open mm-hmm. and all that. So that
it doesn't, you're not committing yourself to a sandy beach.
That's right, mm-hmm. Julia.
So, be standing up in your driveway next to your car and your garage.
Al fresco sex is the top sexual kink / fantasy for women. Then for women, get out your blindfold because that's a good feeling too. Okay, that's number two.
Blindfolded. Does it go all the way into BDSM or just,
no? Just blindfolded sex. Then
the unknown,
then the old body piercings. Now this is generic enough, so it could be nipple rings. Lord, could it be a Prince Albert? I don't know.
Could it be four?
Yeah. Grant, do you know what a Prince Albert piercing is?
Of course he does. You do too.
Now thinking about it, yes, something yeah. I would never do to myself. No.
Oh my Lord. Well, no. This is, but kind of a fascinating thing when you have the opportunity.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I can see that. There's always sensations that are always fascinating.
To see, feel, and yeah. You know, everything else. So people have a fantasy kink about the body piercing. Okay. You might not go through with your Prince Albert in a can situation.
Yeah, no, serious. Okay.
Which I had an opportunity and I chickened out.
I would too. I would too.
Yeah.
I'm being honest.
But I held it. I was like, oh my Lord. Yeah. First I had to see it. Feel it, hold it.
I love it.
And then I just said, no, I'm afraid of that.
Not for me.
Yeah.
No.
Okay.
I would think, what if it came loose and
caught something.
There are so many things that I could see.
Fantasies and kinks aren't always acted upon.
This is just mental stimulation.
Okay, women also love the idea of role play, dressing up sexy costumes. Now, let's go to the men's.
All right.
The guys.
Here we go.
Okay. The number, like, where women like al fresco sex mm-hmm. outdoors, that was number four on the man's list, number one on the woman's list.
Okay.
Bondage, spanking and whips specifically, mm-hmm. was number three for guys.
Yeah.
Number two was role playing, but very specific as to the uniform.
French maid.
Cheerleader, school teacher, nurse. Yeah, whatever mm-hmm. it could be.
Mm-hmm.
Beware of the man who asks you to get talcum powder and a diaper.
Yeah, that's an awkward moment.
Okay, beware of that man. Or woman, I guess.
Yes.
Anyway.
That's a red flag for sure.
Or a rubber sheet. But number one for guys? Number one for guys, Julia.
Okay.
I will call it the old DIY porn.
Mm.
So filming each other while having sex.
Do it
yourself porn.
Okay.
Porn. Yeah.
All right.
That was number one for guys.
All right. Mm-hmm. There you go.
So always dangerous, though, doing DIY porn.
Mm-hmm. Because it could be stolen from your garage, a la Tommy and Pamela.
It could be shared without your knowledge.
It could be on a phone and sent to your children on accident.
Yeah.
If anyone's looking on your phone, it could be.
Yeah. DIY porn should come with a big red handle.
I think it should be like in the olden days, it should be a Polaroid picture.
Yeah.
You know, Polaroid. It's not kept on a camera.
Yeah.
It's not kept
on digital.
Film.
Nothing digital involved
at all.
Yeah.
Maybe a good cassette tape, or something.
It'll work on the tracking to make
the sound work with the picture.
Something like that. Okay. Yeah. So if someone, like DIY porn, that's what the kids are calling it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the thing that did not make it on the women's list came in number five on men's top 10 was threesome. Isn't that interesting?
Are we shocked at all about this?
No, I think threesomes is a great fantasy for men and women. I'm shocked, Julia, shocked that it did not make the women's top 10.
Well, when
one of them is body piercing makes it on the list over threesomes.
I don't know. I don't know.
Have you fantasized a lot about body piercing? I mean, that one doesn't come up ever for me. And that
just
feels
the
like
one time that I had my encounter.
When you had exposure to it, but really on the big picture of fantasy.
Grant is laughing that I held
it. I love how you said I held it.
No, if you're watching the YouTube video right now, Lori is showing us.
Right.
Oh, God.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, yeah, so guys.
But seriously, piercings, has it ever?
And men had it on their list too, body piercings.
What number was it there?
Number 8. Then food play and blindfolded sex is really, guys are really not that into it unless you can somehow pretend you're 2.
Mm.
You know?
Oh, sure. I'm Anna and this is Annalise.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. But only one thing is happening. Right. Yeah. You know, somehow you can do that. So, and then men specifically, they like the idea of some rubber latex and leather. It's going to be my new bar. Rubber latex and leather.
How can I help you today?
Anyway. So we know that. I also thought in the interest of, you know, some, just a cleansing thing after that story.
Thank you.
Is that apparently this is a new study, Julia, about things that people will not date. Or anyway, safety is sexy. Most Americans say they won't ride with or date an unsafe driver. In fact, more than half American drivers said they wouldn't date someone, that 56%, who they think is unsafe. And nearly 18% said they've ended things with somebody because they were such a bad driver.
Okay, first of all, when you're dating, you usually meet somewhere. I mean, gone are the days that people come to your front door and pick you up because you don't want them to even know where you live.
Eventually, you're going to get in a car together.
Well, I drove with you and Casey, and you were a front seat, back seat driver.
He is a horrible driver.
I am in
fear when he drives.
Grant, we were in the car on Saturday.
Oh, yeah. And
I
in
was
fact,
the back seat.
In fact, when we first went on a date where he picked me up, I always then said, I'll meet you because
he's appalled a jerker driver
at his car. And yes, he's a hooky jerky. No, it was really, really. I hadn't seen his house yet. So
I should have saved the shock for the second thing.
Right. Anyway, yeah. 18, maybe, you know, like the 75-year-olds are breaking up with somebody. And all age groups will break up with somebody. Anyway, yeah, they don't like
driving.
People also think that, 3 out of 4, people said they would not date somebody who wouldn't wear a seatbelt.
Well, 100%, because that's just stupidity.
Right.
That's just dumb. Unless you're at a farm and you're on your dirt road on your own property.
Right.
I wouldn't, because that to me feels like, what?
Yeah. Okay. Now let me get this out there real quickly.
Okay.
This little story.
All right.
And that is, if you're planning on traveling and you're looking for the horny cities.
Oh, what are they?
Well, Julia.
Las Vegas.
The horniest cities. They looked at 200 big cities. They used 9 key factors of sexual arousal.
Mm-hmm.
Sexual arousal.
Okay,
what were they? I got to say it like Dr. Ruth.
Yes.
So they looked at Google search, like adult contact, sex toys, like the horny cities, Paradise, Nevada, Orange, California, Hollywood, Florida, which is by Lauderdale, Providence, Rhode Island, Atlanta, Georgia, Fort Lauderdale, Newark, Dayton, Ohio, Tempe, Arizona, and Baltimore. These are the horny cities.
Mm-hmm.
Get to these cities. Don't bother going to Omaha, Nebraska, McKinney, Texas, or Naperville, or Plano, or Brownsville, or Loretto, or Amarillo. That's a lot of Texas.
Yes, but Naperville,
they're not horny.
Naperville's outside of Chicago.
Not horny at all.
Okay.
So just, you know, if you're looking for hot and bothered,
that's where you would go.
It's, you know.
Tempe's a college town.
Texas adults clearly prefer to be alone based on this study. That's what I can take from that. All right, listen, we'll be back. Well, Grant, you did it. You got through your first Sex Monday.
I did. That was fun.
Well, I think you've done a Sex Monday here and there.
Yes. I've had a couple. That was fun, though. I liked that.
That was kind of hilarious, wasn't it?
The way you held it was just great.
Oh, yeah. I just peeped.
Okay, so, you know, Boy George is, I think he turned 60 today. It's his birthday, or Karma Chameleon. It's his birthday today.
And he is also the voice of the Waze app for Pride for the month of June. So if you get the Waze app, you can say who you want to direct to, and Boy George is one of the voices.
Oh, I love it. I love it. And also, YouTube is hosting a Pride 2020 event, and Elton John and his husband, David, are going to... co-host it, and they've got all kinds of people, and they're raising money for the Elton John AIDS Foundation. Right. So that's going to be Friday, June 25th. So it's going to be something on YouTube and stuff. And then the movie I watched with those little rascals, the 5 and the 7-year-old, on Netflix, it just came out like 3 days ago. It was called Wish Dragon.
Okay.
Casey was just on top of it. It was so cute. You know what? It was... it's kind of like a riff on Aladdin.
Okay.
This little boy gets a magic teapot, and he gets a genie with 3 wishes. And but it's the story. It's a wonderful. It was really great. The animation in it and the story. It was wasn't the most original, but it was great attitude. And the 5-year-old got squirmy with about 20 minutes left. The 7-year-old.
Oh, how long was it?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know how long it was, but the 7-year-old was enraptured beginning to end, as was I and as was Casey. It was really cute. And it started this whole thing with the kids. If you found a lamp.
What would you wish for?
And you got 3 wishes from a genie. What would you get? And both kids, one of their wishes was what happened to the kid, Din, who accidentally... wished for something. As soon as you say "I wish for," then the wish is great. And he wished that he could fight like a master kung fu artist, because these bad people were approaching him, and he got his wish, and he was just a major. And both kids, we'd be fighters.
Oh my god, that's so funny! That's so funny.
And then one of the wishes that they had a magic dragon they could fly everywhere on, and they could give people rides.
That would really.
And I'm
be
like,
fun.
Would you drop me off in Paris with Grandpa? Oh yeah, sure. You know,
that would be fun.
It was just. It was really. It's a good kid movie. I haven't watched a kid movie in a long time, so I was just like pleasantly surprised at how well done it was. And that is never an old tale.
No,
it's
it isn't.
It's kind of a fun
fable. Everyone can see themselves being in that situation. What would you wish for?
And we learn something, like the man who wished he had the golden arm, and has the, can turn everything into gold until he touches his own face and makes himself turn into a gold statue and breaks, or whatever, whatever that.
Right.
The lesson might be learned.
Be careful and then, what you wish for.
You guys, we lost Grandma Millie. I shouldn't say we did, but she's a Viking super fan. And she passed away at the age of 102.
Yeah.
Did you hear that?
I did. She was the one that had the bricks, right? The soft bricks.
She would go. Yes. She watched every Vikings game from her favorite chair with a screwdriver in one hand and a yellow foam brick in the other.
Love it.
And finally, at 1 year, she started attaching a string to the brick so she wouldn't have to get up to get it. But her loyalty was so fierce, the Vikings named her Fan of the Year in 2020. And last year, for her 101st birthday, they sent her 101 white roses. And she just was very admired among friends and family for kindness, compassion, and a vigor that she had. And when a Vikings fan since 61, she caught the team's attention when she toured U.S. Bank Stadium at age 98.
Remember that?
And was interviewed by a TV station.
Yes. This went viral.
And 2 years later, the Vikings gave her an early 100th birthday two tickets to a playoff game against the Saints. So Grandma Millie was there in person for what became known as the Minnesota Miracle, thanks to a game-winning final seconds touchdown. And everyone called her the Vikings' Lucky Charms. And Roger Goodell gave her tickets to go to the Super Bowl. But, of course, the Vikings lost that NFC game.
They did.
And the foam brick may have been thrown quite a bit during that game. But anyway, so yeah, she, her family let us know that, yeah, she...
102.
102.
That's a life well lived.
Yes,
that's
yes.
That's a good thing.
Grandma Millie makes you kind of go, oh, that's sweet, the Vikings, you know, they got on that one. You know, and then Lamar Odom.
I'd like them to get on having a good team.
Team, yeah. And then Lamar Odom knocked Aaron Carter out in the second round of their celebrity boxing match, which if that's called boxing, it was like watching him struggle and spinning around. Like,
did you guys
watch
this?
He was in Swan Lake. No, it was $29.99.
No, I didn't. But no. But you described it perfectly.
I mean, Lamar Odom has like 80 pounds and 10 inches on Aaron Carter.
Exactly.
I guess they just need the money. You know, they need the money to do a celebrity boxing.
And they didn't want to do stock videos. He's too big for it.
People paid $30 for this pay-per-view.
Yeah, I don't get that.
It was
stuff.
Like the one the week before with Logan Paul and Floyd.
Yes.
That was $50.
That was $50.
Yeah, they made hundreds of millions of dollars on that. Whereas this one, not so much, but a lot of money was made still.
The fact that anyone would ever pay $29.99 and go, oh yeah, I'm going to watch two celebrities, Lamar Odom and Aaron Carter.
Two, I mean, that's a really weak. That's a really weak one.
It is. We never got to talk about Rob Riggles and his terrible divorce. It's going very badly.
Oh.
Hidden cameras, siphoning of bank accounts.
Ooh.
I don't know really who he is, except I know, like I read the story. So last August during COVID, his wife and he were separated and she went into...
They were not falling in love.
No, she went into the house and put like a camera in a smoke detector. And then she got all of his passwords. And so the first he found out, like, she would know all this information about him.
Yeah, how does she know?
And then so he and his girlfriend, that could have been a key where there was something up because they were still married.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No,
we're
this
feeding
is ugly.
Them. Yeah, it's really ugly.
Ugly. And he's been in a million TV shows and movies. You'd
just
recognize
don't
him
you
if you saw him.
You just don't know his
he's
name.
He's on the show Holy Moly. It's a game show.
Oh, that one.
Fox Sunday. He's the comedy guy that gives reliefs on Fox NFL Sunday.
Strong eyebrow game.
Yes.
Strong eyebrow game.
Weak name recognition. All right. Have a good night, everyone. Thanks, Grant.